Next case is 99-1755, Green County Agricultural Society versus James Limey.
Legal concepts. I searched diligently as I went through all of this to find out if there was any place where, in fact, it's shown in the record that these are two different hogs. You make that statement in your brief, but I don't see any corroboration for it.
Well, there is, Your Honor.
Okay, so we know we're dealing, we know that if they published that she was wrong, or if they disciplined her because she was wrong, that they were wrong in doing so.
Well, we're here on summary judgment.
I understand.
We have facts in the record to support our position. In my understanding of summary judgment, you must construe those facts most strongly in our favor. And on that point, Andy Borden is the young man who had the hog and presented that hog at the Clinton County Fair. And we took Andy's deposition. And Mr. Ferguson, who was there, cross-examined little Andy Borden, I think he's about 14 years of age, and he showed him pictures. And Andy said, and he looked at those pictures, and he said, "That's not my hog." And he looked at some other pictures, and he said, "That's my hog."
Does Andy know what happened to his hog?
Yes, he does. It was sold, ostensibly, for the purpose of being slaughtered. That's where they go.
Yeah, I know.
These are market hogs, and their destiny is on our kitchen tables. That's where they're going to go. So that's Andy Borden. Then he explained why. He said, "Well, my hog didn't stand as high at the withers as this other hog." And he showed some other reasons why that was not his hog. Incidentally, in the Agricultural Society's investigation, they never talked to Andy Borden. Number two, hogs apparently at this age grow at the rate of about 2 pounds per day if fed normally. Whatever the prescribed amount of feeding the hog's supposed to get at that time in their life, if you give it to them, you don't send them to Big Canyon, you don't starve them, they grow at 2 pounds per day. In the record, Your Honor, there's evidence of the weight of the hog at the Clinton County Fair and the evidence of the weight of Big Fat at the Green County Fair. And Big Fat weighed less than the hog at the Clinton County Fair.
Mr. Deutsch, let me interrupt you. I voted to bring this case in because it seemed to me there are a couple of legal issues that we needed to decide. The first threshold issue, it seems to me, is the General Assembly has said, and as you know, in 1711-13, that a county agricultural societies are declared to be bodies corporate and politic. You argue that we should disregard the statute, but what test should we use in deciding not to follow the words of the General Assembly when they declare some entity to be a, it declares some entity to be a body of corporate politic.
Well, I'm not suggesting that you should not follow the General Assembly. That would be farthest from my mind, but what I think is you have some precedent here, because back in 1888, the Supreme Court grappled with much of these same issues in Dunn versus Brown County Agricultural Society. And they were talking about what is an agricultural society. They said it was a private organization. And it was a private organization, group of people combining together. I think the statute says, the statute, by the way, was enacted in 1846. It's got much of the same language. There are a couple exceptions, but it said 30 or more people can get together and have this agricultural society, and they can do different things. Well, one of the things the statute never says they have to do is have a fair.
So the reason you're making that argument is beyond the statute. It's whether or not this is a proprietary or governmental function, I take it. Obviously, we know the statute says that they will be treated as a government entity. I mean, a political subdivision, right?
I wasn't even getting that far yet.
But you seem to be arguing that case and that they don't have to have a fair. What's the point of that in light of the language of the statute?
All right, the point of the case is, and there are other cases that support it, we don't rest just on 1888, although I think it's a great decision, is the fact that the point of the case and the point I'm making is there's a distinction that's been made down through the years by this court. When entities are developed as a result of statute, in other words, the legislature sets these entities in motion, and opposed to, that's an involuntary corporation. A voluntary corporation, on the other hand, is a corporation that occurred here. Greene County does not have to have an agricultural society.
I'm still missing the point.
The point is, when you review these cases and you take a look at what becomes a body politic, because there are three major tests that one has to look, and there's an excellent Attorney General opinion on this point. We cited in our brief, it was in 1999 and it's 028. And the test that they talk about on this issue of body politic is whether the boundaries of the entity are coextensive with the boundaries of the county. Number two, whether the county is responsible for the organization, operation, or supervision of the entity. And number three, whether the entity is funded by or through the county.
Council, the legislature's already said it is. Why do we revisit that issue when they said it is?
When they said what it is?
The legislature has already called it a body politic. Why do we revisit that issue? Why is that Attorney General important?
Well, because
when they've already said it.
What is a body politic becomes a crucial point, because they haven't defined it.
No, they haven't defined it, but they have said it is one. So what is the next point? Governmental unity is based on what?
They said it is a body politic, but this court has not rested with that position. We also cited the Hamilton County Board of Mental Retardation when this court took a look at what's a body politic, and it was held.
Call the Board of Mental Retardation a body politic? Do we have a similar legislation in that state?
Not to my knowledge. But the issue is,
how did you go forward to the community issue regarding proprietary?
Well, if we...
That's a much more persuasive argument than trying to argue against the statute. So why don't you move to that? Give your best shot.
On the proprietary function, it's claimed, and the Second District Court of Appeals dealt with that issue, and they talked about, I got my notes here, they said that 274401, they said that looking at C1C, It promotes the welfare. It's an activity not customarily engaged in by non-government persons. It promotes education. So they feel by virtue of that language, it's not a proprietary function. It's a governmental function. On the other side of the coin, in our estimation, they're making a factual determination and they're resting on an attorney general opinion in order to get to that point. There's the attorney general, please.
Why? You just asked us to rely on attorney general opinion to get to a point.
Well, what I want to tell you is the attorney general has been inconsistent over the years, and if you read the opinions together, it's very difficult to come up with the result that the activity, a hog show, promotes education in the sense that we view education customarily. The hog show is really no different than a horse show or a dog show. And if we're going to consider that to be an educational function, then we might even start promoting beer here in Ohio and have hops and beer tasting at the county fair and make that a governmental project also. I think the point that I'm making is that if you want to decide that it's this court's decision that because the legislature calls this a body politic and it's over, although it doesn't define it, if that's the shot you want to make, then we do argue that this cannot be considered a governmental function because it is not an activity that's engaged in solely by governmental entities. And really, what we have here to look at is conclusionary from the legislature. Because if you want to say it is because it is, there's nothing that I can do to argue that. If we want to look at this thing intellectually and look at it and analytically through the cases of this court, I don't think you can come to the conclusion that there was control by the Greene County Commission of this agricultural society. No control whatsoever. Let's state it differently. What if the Greene County Agricultural Society decides we're not going to have a fair? What happens? They handle these issues? There's no fair. Zero. Is that a governmental function?
They're subject to prevailing wage laws, apparently, and open meetings. They have open meeting laws, and there are a number of apparently administrative code sections that apply to their proceedings. What is your strongest argument regarding the facts that this is a proprietary function?
Your Honor, the same Attorney General opinion talks about the Ohio Historical Society versus Employment Relations case, 66 Ohio State 3rd 46, where this court was grappling with issues about open meetings and public records. And this court has consistently held that there are private bodies that fall within the context of those statutes. So I don't believe that just because they fall within the requirements of 121-149, that would make it in and of itself a governmental function as opposed to a proprietary one.
How about we get there, Mr. Deutsch, by virtue of political subdivision, the definition of political subdivision, which says, of course, as you well know, that it's a body corporate and politic, which we now know the General Assembly said, and this is one, that an agricultural society is that, so it meets that much, but then it goes on to say responsible for governmental activity. So the responsible is the perhaps the word that you want to focus upon, where you say, what if they didn't have a fair? They're organized to do that. I take it that they're bylaws and various documents. Is that part of the record here, I mean, that they are indeed are organized to do that very thing.
Well, that's part of my argument about the fact that it's a voluntary corporation. They are geared by their bylaws and constitution as opposed to oversight by the county commission. Now, can't find the beginning of this. Must be over here. This particular 1999 that I previously signed, it's 99-028. That dealt with an issue of a Hocking County Tourist Association. And the issue there was whether the prosecutor would have to offer advice and representation to them. And they said no, because the county, this is not a county board. And in fact, this decision also reiterates the fact, this determination, that the Agricultural Society is a private organization. It says on page 2 of a 6-page opinion, County Agricultural Society organizes a private corporation that controls its own internal affairs, is not a county board. So in their analysis, they say they're not a county board. So what would happen...
But do we need to meet that definition for this case? We need to meet political subdivision. County board may well be defined in the code. I don't know whether it is or not.
Well, it's not... Well, what we do know from this Attorney General's opinion that the Agricultural Society is not linked directly politically to Green County. We know that. There is no evidence to the contrary. And so when I ask rhetorically what happens if they don't have a fair, they may violate their constitution and their internal bylaws, but my point is, so what? What are the citizens' redress? Nothing. And as you read that section, 1711, if you look at that, nowhere does it tell you that they have to have a fair. The second thing that I found in one of the sections is you can have more than one agricultural society in a county. So I'm a little bit confused as to how, in this particular case, that the function of a hogshead promotes the public education to the extent that you would consider that particular function to now be a governmental function. It wasn't a governmental function in 1888 when agriculture was considerably more important to Ohio in commerce.
You need to sum up.
Than it is now. All right, my sum up is this. I was looking through the
sum up means quickly.
The documents that there was an ethics. They said the county agricultural society directors have a code, and in that code they quoted Teddy Roosevelt. They said that a public official is a public servant, but Teddy Roosevelt also said that no man is above the law and no man is below the law. That preserves some time. I can pull them outside.
You use your time, but you'll have 30 seconds to see if the justices have any questions. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Ms. Bellotto.
And distorted his house where Laura took care and groomed the hog despite the fact that all of the rest of her projects and the project of her cousins were stored at her very large farm, where she had plenty of room to keep this other hog. And it was purchased after the cutoff deadline of May 15, 1996. That's the rule that we're here to talk about.
Let me ask you a couple of questions. We've read the briefs, and so we know what happened to these hogs and all that sort of thing. Does the Green County Agricultural Society receive any funds from the sale of the hogs, or does it all go to the youth who sells the hogs?
Above the market price, the funds, Laura Lyman received a little over $1,000 that went to her, and I do not know whether the fair recoups any money. That has not been developed in the record, whether the fair recoups any money.
So the money is not used to promote, any part of the money is not used to promote the education or other purposes of the Agricultural Society, I take it. And the record doesn't indicate that.
The record does not indicate that, and I don't have that answer.
Anyone, I guess any private entity could hold an auction for hogs, couldn't they, or sheep, or whatever they want, cattle, or whatever they want to sell, could they not? This is not something unique to government, certainly.
Any private entity can hold an auction, just as any entity can have a soccer game. You can have a private soccer club, or you can have a soccer club that is run by a high school, and if an event happens there, depending on who the event is sponsored by, determines whether or not immunity kicks in. And in this particular case, we take issue with the appellant's representation that a society is not required to have a fair, because 1711.01 requires the County Agricultural Society to hold an annual fair, just as the state agency, the Ohio Exposition Commission, is required to hold an annual fair. And at the fair, people are paid nominal sums to come in and work certain jobs. The president, for example, Larry Mangan, receives, I think, $50 for holding his position as president to attend meetings.
These are not full-time positions that these people hold.
Now,
we had a case, I can't remember the name of it, it was written by Justice Sweeney, about volunteers that work for youth organizations in sports. And one of the parents tried to sue. One of the issues we struggle with is if we define liability, we pretty much chill all the volunteers. Do we have a similar concern here? Are there a lot of volunteers that would be subject immediately to suit and liability if we do it?
If they don't do it, they
won't. What will happen in this case, if the community is not applied to the operation of the fair to the Green County Agricultural Society, is the first level that I see being chilled would be the operation of 4-H clubs throughout Ohio. 4-H brings youth under 18 together to do all sorts of projects. They learn what their project is, they have to keep journals, they have to explain how they go about grooming an animal, for example. And then the culmination of all of this work, sometimes 9 months of work, is demonstrated and adjudicated through competition at the fair. If the child places first place, go on to the state fair. If we take away the protection that these individuals are afforded under 2744, then 4-H will no longer have a purpose.
Counsel, is the County Agricultural Society immune for all of their activities? Do they have sovereign immunity for all of their activities that are conducted with respect to a fair?
While that would be nice, we wouldn't take that position. Typically, cases involving immunity are reviewed on a case-by-case basis as to what the activity is, and that's the reason why the code designates a distinction between governmental functions and proprietary functions.
Well, you see, you're over into the sovereign immunity statute right now, but the statute's indicating creating agricultural societies the one that's subject to discussion here is 17.11.13 says the agricultural societies are hereby declared bodies corporate and politic. And as such, they shall be capable of suing and being sued. Do we have any other body politic that says that, that the sovereign immunity statute overlaps with? Here it says they can be sued.
I'm not aware of any government, any political subdivision that is not capable of being sued. They're sued, and then you apply 2744 to determine whether or not they're a political subdivision and what kind of activity they are.
So, for other activities at the fair, you would have liability, such as someone falls off, is injured in a carnival ride, and part of that litigation is this carny operator has a horrible track record at the county fair board, should have known about it, should have never let them on the fairgrounds, and so the county fair board bears some responsibility as well. In that kind of situation, no immunity?
That would depend, Your Honor. It would be a similar analysis as to a police department. If a city or a village were sued and the plaintiffs were arguing, you knew this police officer shot three other people without...
Are you saying that's educational as well and therefore governmental function, running the carnival rides at the fair?
In that particular instance, as far as carnival rides goes, now that's something that happens at fairs. Is it educational? No.
Okay, is that the distinction here, that the hog show is educational and therefore is a governmental function? Is that?
Yes, Your Honor. The hog show, as discussed with the 4-H program, working in conjunction with that, is educational. It serves a vital public purpose to all the citizens in Greene County that attend, as well as any citizens in the state that attend. It also serves an educational purpose for the state of Ohio when the winners of that competition, the Greene County Fair and all the other fairs in the state, move on to the state competition. Without county competitions, what competition is there at the state level?
Does the Agricultural Society own the fairgrounds?
Yes.
Do they carry liability?
Yes.
Does that cover the hog show?
Yes.
They pay a premium for covering the hog show.
Oh, in general, the operation of fair is...
So they're paying a premium to an insurance company for something for which they're not liable.
Yes, but that's no different than any other political subdivision that has liability insurance. Police departments do that.
Would you even have maybe just maintenance of the that was without the...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
You would have maybe just maintenance of the street in the middle of the fair, and that's something that's generally considered a private option.
Yes. And that's why we would argue that the court looked at the particular facts of this case, the educational value that's involved, to determine whether or not governmental function exists here, because these cases must be viewed on a case-by-case basis to determine whether or not we're talking in terms of governmental or proprietary function. The application of whether or not the fair should receive immunity as a government function in this case is clear when you look at policy concerns. If this court denies the Greene County Agricultural Society immunity here, how does one explain that if the Ohio Exposition Commission had done this, the president of the Ohio Exposition Commission had conducted the investigation that Larry Mangan conducted in this instance, that individual would be immune because that's a government agency. if that commission as a body would have done an investigation, that entity would have been immune. The Ohio Department of Agriculture has explicit control over how these fairs are run. They're required to have an annual fair, and if the public is unhappy with the educational content in that fair, any member of the state of Ohio can go to the ODA and ask for an investigation to be conducted, which the ODA will do. And if the educational value is not significant enough to meet their requirements, all public funding given to the society for the operation of the fair will be withheld. We will have the...
How does that help us decide what happens?
Because you have different echelons of these fairs. They start at the county level with the Agricultural Society, and then you go to the state level with the Ohio Exposition Commission. And then you have the ODA who looks over everybody's shoulder. And you have, why would you treat one at the state level?
There are also independent fairs. Is that come under a whole different deal? Independent fair.
Yes, an independent fair can be established under the state statute 1711.
They have livestock judging and all of that, but that's different.
It is different. It's just like a comparison between soccer, whether you have soccer sponsored by a high school or if you have select soccer sponsored by a private entity. The requirement for a governmental function isn't, as the appellants would have this court believe, an exclusive duty that one must perform. It is a customary. It's customary that the government takes on this responsibility. And it's a vital public purpose in Ohio, agriculture is. And it has existed in our society for a long time. And it's different from other states across the country. I'm from Pennsylvania. These things didn't happen there. This is something that is unique to this state.
Well, they don't have pop shows in Pennsylvania, or they don't sue the Agricultural Society, which thing doesn't happen.
I've never attended a hog show in Pennsylvania. My county never has one. We would ask the court also to take a look at the facts, which I won't go through, they've been briefed, but with regard to Larry Mangan and the role that he played, and to take note that the investigation that he conducted was thorough. And there is no evidence in this record that two different hogs existed, and any evidence with regard to our question of fact, which may arise with regard to that issue, is not relevant to this case. It's relevant to the case between the plaintiffs and the defendants. In this case, in this appeal, we're looking at the counterclaim and third-party complaint. Briefly,
this state, there has been no judicial determination of whether the hog is 1 or 2.
That's correct. That underlying case is 9-1. That's correct. The Court of Appeals, or two separate appeals were taken to the Green County Court of Appeals, and one of them was not heard. This one was. There's been some discussion about the Dunn case and whether or not it applied and should be precedent that this court should follow. And we would just point out that the Dunn decision, first of all, does not apply to 2744, most obviously. Secondly, that distinction, which is a non-distinction in our view, between private and public corporations is so arcane. The decision itself states that any village that is incorporated as a general rule would be a private corporation. So that would not even apply to 2744 as it is intended today. And the appellants also bring up a point with regard to political subdivision status, with regard to benevolent and religious organizations, because they are deemed to be bodies of corporate and politic. And the argument they try to make is that if we, I see that my time has expired, may I finish?
Finish your thought.
Thank you. If we extend immunity in this instance, then we will be expected to extend immunity to churches and so on and so forth. And the difference there is that churches are not engaged in governmental or customarily governmental functions. If they were, it would be a clear violation of the separation of church and state. Thank you for your time, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Pilato. Mr. Deutsch, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
There were two hogs. Lyons and Smith did not do anything dishonestly. The second thing is, Your Honor, the Dunn case can be cited for this education issue. The case says the statute indicated that County Agricultural Society was the improvement of crops, tillage, soil, agriculture in general, and it said from the summary of this statute, it's apparent that the corporations formed under it are not mere territorial political divisions of the state or vested with any political or governmental functions. Also, the second district in the Cheney case, Cheney versus Clark County Agricultural Society, when there was a fair labor issue dealing with overtime, held that the county fair was for amusement purposes. Also, take a look at O'Neill versus Mahoning County, when little Tammy steps on a board that has a nail in hog barn number 7. So if you're going to deal with this particular issue and say the presentation of hogs that are fair, it is educational purpose and therefore it's government. We want to expand government and make government apply to all things that occur in our society. What happens to little Tammy in the hog barn? Is she stepping in an area that's a governmental function? Is it proprietary function? Thank you.
The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.